Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. You the expert. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing today?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Today we're talking about safety in our communities, and we're just trying to get people to call in today, call us, and tell us about you, what your concerns is, because is that. You know, that safety is something that happens between your ears, not something that you hold in your hand. You know what I'm saying? So you're making too much noise in the background. We have to turn your radio down. Yes. Yeah, so you're making too much noise on the background. The background, sir. Background noise. Okay. So, caller, you got an opinion?
Somebody on the air?
Yeah, is somebody on the air?
Yeah, this is Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So you have an opinion about the show topic today, Brandon?
Can you repeat the topic again? You're kind of breaking up, my bad.
Okay. The topic of the day is safety in our community.
Yeah, as far as dealing with safety in the community, man, I feel like, you know, the neighborhood together needs to, you know, make sure that they have their ears and eyes open, you know what I'm saying, for any kind of illegal activity going on. You know, if they want their neighborhood safe, it's up to the people in that community to step up and say, hey, look, you know, I'm tired of this going on. Let's stop it right now. You know, let's get together and have a meeting and figure out what we can do as a whole community to make something happen, you know, positive in the neighborhoods instead of, you know, looking out their windows and seeing somebody get shot and then they don't want to talk to the police or nothing. You know, you're not going to get nothing solved like that.
I agree with you 100%. But, you know, in our neighborhood, we have that thing is that if you talk to the law enforcement, that you can sit in a snitch. You know, and they say, you know, you don't tell in our neighborhood. So I think that has been one of the most irresponsible positions that a person can take in the face of a crisis, in the face of danger, in the face of anything that happens in our community that adversely affects those that live there.
Right.
You know. So, did you hear when we had the description? It's like that we you know, like here, Mad Dad, we feel like, you know, that safety is something between your ears. You know, you got to have the will. You know, you have to have the will and the want to in order to let PNB a positive role model, you know, or example into the neighborhood. You know,
right,
you have to
right.
have you've got to have strength, character. You know what I'm saying? To be able to lay up here and face the responsibility of being a guardian to not only
right.
your kids, but the kids that live in your community and the people that live in your community. You know,
right.
we got to start, you know what I'm saying, stop taking the back seat to it. Stop standing our heads and shutting our windows and going into our houses and locking ourselves behind our steel doors and all that stuff. You know? That you know that, but you know if we're a part, if you live in a community, you are part of that community. You're supposed to know who your neighbors are. You're supposed to know who your next door neighbor is. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to know who your children are playing with. You know, and I think it's like being in a neighborhood. You're supposed to, you know, be safe to send your kids to the neighborhood store.
Yeah. Yeah. And not be afraid that they're going to get hit by a stray bullet because people want to act stupid out on the street.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Kids killing kids over a dollar or something stupid, a petty little fight. And someone else gets involved in it, and then, you know, they're the victim.
That's true.
Just start getting some milk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, seriously, you know, because like we look at the last couple of tragedies that happened in our neighborhood. These are young kids, you know.
Yep.
And, we have another call on the line. And hello, caller.
Yes, this is Elizabeth Glinton.
Hello, Mrs. Glinton. This is for all those our listeners out there. This is a council person, the city council person. The 8th Ward representative, Ms. Glinton. And I'm proud to say that I've had the opportunity to work with her, and I know her to be a very conscientious provider for her constituents in her district and throughout the city of Minneapolis. So how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm doing best I can. The sun's out, you know.
Okay. So did you get hear our topic?
No, I didn't. I just had the call time to call in, so I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay, all right. Our topic today is safety in our community.
Okay.
So we're trying to make sense of the senseless slaying that's been happening to our children right inside their communities, the community in which they're supposed to be safe.
Yes, well, you know, I've been meeting with a lot of community folks about what has been happening because, well, A, it is just a tragedy for our community, but B, I think people are asking a lot of questions about what does this really mean in terms of you got a block, you think that you're safe, you think you're in your house, you think you're in your front yard, that should be a place where you're safe. And we've seen some crimes where we know that some of our residents are not respectful of life. I you know don't want to kind of watch my language on your show here, but I am concerned that we have some folks who don't value life, and not just their own life, but the life of anyone else they might see. And that's a really sad thing to say about community.
That's very well put, you know. And I understand that sometimes that, you know, like we have expressions that we would like to express, you know, but it's not tactful. But you're right, though. You know, we got a lot of people in our neighborhoods that are not mindful of not only the rules and regulations that govern us as a society, but they don't have no type of respect for humanity, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the way of life that we've all fought for, we've died for. People have gone overseas, lay up here, to maintain the rights for us to have the freedoms of expression, the freedom to come out to our homes, the freedom to lay up here and elect our elected officials and stuff. They don't have any respect for those processes. And that's what I think is like the most detrimental thing that we're facing today, is that we have lack of respect. We have another call on the line, a 708 number. Caller?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Have you heard our topic today? Did you listen to what a council person, Glendon, was saying? About safeties in our neighborhood. So, may I ask, how old are you?
18.
Oh, you're 18. Are you just in that age bracket that we're concerned with? What do you think about the matter about safety in the neighborhoods?
I think it starts at home. Like, if your parents not teaching you right, when you go out, you're not gonna act right. So. I think it starts at home. It's sad. There needs to be more people out, like congressmen and people, you know. That's so the teenagers can see people care about them. If they don't get no love from home, they're not going to show no love outside. So if you get love outside, maybe that'll warm their hearts. So I just think it should be just more people out that's doing some positive stuff, not negative stuff. Like, don't judge. Just because you see a black male outside, don't judge them just because they black or whatever. You know, show them love. Hopefully they'll show love back.
Okay. So, City Council? Council?
Yes.
Yeah. So, now, next for a young person, that's from the mouth of a babe, that's saying it's got to start at home.
Well, she said two things, and that was some really touching comments about, you know, the importance of understanding what goes on in home. Those are one of the key places that you learn values, and I'm talking about values just like even respecting yourself, kindness to others, those kinds of things. And those are things we learn in home, but they also are things that we learn from the environment around us. And I want to pick up on another piece of what she said, which is about needing to get out more, and that folks like me need to be part of that. But it's also about neighbors just on the street saying hello to someone and not judging them by what they might look like, or what your interpretation might be about them. you know, we were just on this block in the 3200 block of Columbus on Sunday and had a vigil there. But some of the comments from the neighbors at that were about them saying hi to each other. And they were talking to each other. And it was really powerful. But the part of their message was, we have to continue this as part of our everyday activities. And that helps us support each other in that everyday way.
And, Councilman Lynn, see, I've had the opportunity to work with you in the community. And I've watched how you brought your family, how you brought your new baby out to the 38th in Chicago, and and how all the people were so receptive to you, you know, and how people, you know, how people oriented, you know what I'm saying, your attitude and your disposition is, you know. And I've seen people, you know what I'm saying, that was coming with, you know, adverse disagreement on what they thought or what they perceived the occasion to be, and they was trying to turn it off into a political, like, type step, a statement for you, a confrontation for you, and how you so gracefully just, you know, just step past that, you know what I'm saying, and kept your smile on your face, you know, and you made yourself, you know what I'm saying, responsive to the community and stuff, you know, and like Carla said that, you know, that by you being an on-hands councilman person, you know, that, you know, you live in your ward, you know, you represent your ward strongly, you know, and you care about your constituents, you know, and I think that's what the caller was saying, that some of our politician figures should be active in our communities so that they can be what we're going to say, personable, or but made personable, you know, and not just become a face on a ballot slip. You know, and I think you do that expertly, you know.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Let me just say one more thing, follow-up on one more piece you made, which was there are a lot of opportunities in our community to find ways to work with young people. And so if you have an interest, truly have an interest in that, you know, you can call me up. I can give suggestions, but you can also probably look around. A lot of churches have programs. There are a lot of parks that have programs and other organizations, or even some of the schools. I'm not just talking we have public schools, but also a lot of charter schools in the area. There are lots of opportunities for adults to have more interaction with young people. And if that's something you have a desire to do, I will tell you the need is there.
All right. Oh, all right. So you say the need is, you say the need is there for more responsible parents to get involved.
Yep. Mhm.
Okay. So so all right. But let's talk about, you know, like that we have these parents that want to be active, you know, but their reserves are that they don't feel protected.
And can you say a little bit more about what you're asking? Are you saying they don't feel protected in their neighborhood, or they're not sure where to go to be part of some other activities?
All right. Well, I'm saying they don't feel protected in their neighborhoods.
Okay. Well, you know, that's an important comment, and that's part of why we have to be working together. I mean, I will just say, sometimes, I think some of us in the public realm and the police, there are things that we need to do better to show that we are putting the extra mile into protecting our neighborhoods. And I can tell you right now that Minneapolis police, but also Hennepin County Services and probation, they're putting full court press into this. But it's just another key thing, which is that the more that we say that we're going to just try to hole up, stay inside, the more that we are together as a community perpetuating that this is a place to be fearful. And so by getting out, by finding that way to connect to things you love to do, whether that is working with young people, you are helping reverse that perception that is out there. And sometimes I feel, you know, the media wants to focus us on things that only narrow our perspective and make us more fearful of each other. And it's going the opposite way that I think is the saving grace of all of our communities.
You know, and I, again, see, I understand why you're in the position that you're in, because, you know, you articulate that situation so beautifully. And you're right. You know that the media always builds up the hype about the seriousness and the frightfulness, you know, of the situation, instead of building on the core good of the community. That, like the caller said earlier, there's more good than there is bad. And we have to start focusing on that which is good in our communities. And we have so much talent. We have so much. Minnesota is such a beautiful state. Minneapolis is such a beautiful community as a whole. It's so many things, so many social activities that we can do, you know what I'm saying, which is just all the ethnic mixing that's here in this in our city. You know, there's so many things that our kids can do on a positive, you know. And, you know, and we're here, man, Dad, we try to encourage families, and we try to encourage single parents to become, you know, volunteer in our neighborhoods, you know, because, like, we have this service that starts on a Thursday, and it's from, like, 4 to 6, you know what I'm saying, at 3036 4th Avenue, and it's a volunteer organization, and it teaches us how to become involved, how to become conscientious volunteers, you know, because a lot of people volunteer for different things and stuff, you know what I'm saying, but they have a tendency of wanting to volunteer for things that fits into their agenda, you know, and you know, and we're trying to say that, you know, like, you know, open up your mind, broaden your mind, broaden your perspective, you know what I'm saying, and open up your heart for everything that's involved in our community, because it takes a lot of different personalities, you know, to make a healthy community.
That is so true. Well, thank you so much for letting me call in on your show. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Okay. And it was wonderful for you to take the time from, I know how busy you are, to be a part of the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to do it. Bye-bye
okay.
now.
Okay. Bye-bye. So caller?
Yeah.
Okay. So you still there? Okay. So by you being a young person, in the community, do you think that hello, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Do you think that it's a good thing for people to just be interact with their neighbors? For what, like, or where you stay at? Do you know who your neighbors are?
Something like that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. You know? Because, you know, I think that's important. That, you know, that we know our neighbors, we know the people across the street, that we know the people down the street. So this way here and stuff, you know what I'm saying, it'll be a open door to communication, you know. So like if any type of emergencies or this type of people that shut in, elderly people, and that type of stuff, you know what I'm saying. That's the thing that builds the core and the foundation, you know, of a community, because community is like a village, you know.
All right.
So how do you feel living in your community?
When I first moved over here, it was all right. But now, I don't know. Our house got broken in, set on fire, car windows busted out. So I don't feel too safe, but it's not the worst.
So that's what I'm talking about. That's some sad stuff there, you know. But it's just the reality that we got to face today, you know, that that we're in a world and stuff where hurt people, you know.
What?
And I just want to lay up here and make it clear to everybody that, you know, there's love out here. You know, there's love. Hello?
Yeah.
I know there's another call on the line.
Yes, this is Kenneth Nelson of Minneapolis Mad Dad.
How are you doing now?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right.
I'm a part of Mad Dads, and I am so glad to be a part of the mechanism that's out here trying to pull unity in the community. You know, this year, the crime rate is up so high this year, and what makes it even worse, it's a lot of females that's getting killed, you know? And we're here to support the families and try to bring the community together, but we don't just want to be there for visuals and after something happened to a victim and support their families. We want to be there to try to resolve the problem before it even occurs. And it's not like we can just be on every corner or prevent everything that's happening. But what we do a lot of things to support the community and try to draw the community together. And a lot of it do start with the young kids. That's why we go to a lot of the schools and give our point of views and stress to the children in schools that the importance of not being part of a gang or any type of gang activity or any of those things, you know, because a lot of the kids in the community don't feel supported, you know, and it's a parent thing, you know. Parents need to instill more love and joy and unity within their children, you know. We can only do so much on these streets, but we're going to continue to do everything in our power, through the power of God, you know, to just draw the community together, you know, and try to prevent a lot of violence and crime, you know. I was so glad to hear the support of Elizabeth Glidden. That's just so supportive. We need more of that. We need more people in the neighborhoods, in the community, to come together. Like, we was at the visual Sunday for the latest little girl. She was only 19 years old. And a lot of people in the community stressed that they, on the same street, that they didn't even know that it happened, you know. We just need to be more aware of what's going around. You know, we just need to be more aware of our surroundings and what's going on next door, on the next street, on the next block, you know. And it takes getting out and being involved.
Yeah, and you said, again, you said, you know, you made a very important point, is that we have to get involved. You know, it's no longer how do we have the luxury of just sitting back, you know what I'm saying, and watching the fruits of our prosperity blossom. Because it don't happen like that. Like they say on the thing, in a perfect Walgreens world, maybe it'll happen like that. But today, we've got to be active. It's got to be hands-on participation. So, again, we want to stress that here at Mad Dads, we have a volunteer program that teaches people how to become effective volunteers. And it's every Thursday night, starting at 4 o'clock, at 3036 4th Avenue South. And we're begging people, you know, to come out of your homes, become active, come out of your homes and speak at our community events. Come out of your homes and let the people see that you live around, that you stay there. Because, you know, you know yourself, Ken, that we've been in communities where the people on the second floor don't know the people on the first floor.
That's right.
You know, and and the people, you know, we go into communities and stuff, you know what I'm saying, but especially I'm doing out the summer and stuff, that people who live right next door to each other are in beef with the people next door.
Right.
You know, so, you know, them, these are living examples that our children see how we act.
That's right.
You know?
I think we should lead by example, because a lot, most of the kids do look up to how we act, and they just take it. They look at our actions, and our actions make a lot of the difference of how our kids react. And the kids of the day, they gonna take it to another level. All we have to do is show a little bit of negativity, and they're gonna take it to a negativity of a whole nother level.
That's right, you know. And see, now that's why we also have a Tuesday night empowerment group. And again, it's at 3023 4th Avenue South. And in that group, we have group of young adults and adults, couples, married couples, single people, who are all visually and vocally supportive of what we're talking about today. They come to voice their opinions. They come to let it be known. They come to fellowship with each other about the various things and topics that is out there addressing our community. You know?
I think that support group have been making a tremendous difference, you know, because I've been to a lot of meetings in the past, but I've never been to a support group such as the one you're speaking of, and it's been a difference not just in people's lives that I see, but in my life also, you know, and I think we need to stress to the community about the support groups and the difference that it's making in the community, because it's a group, it goes far beyond the expectations of what people think that a group should be, you know? And
yep.
It does its job. It's a lot of unity there. And if we focus on getting people to come to the group and being unified, then that would spread throughout the community a little more.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, is that I feel that the topic that we have, that safety is something that happens between your ears and not something that you hold in your hands, is something that people need to lay up here and really put their minds into, to understand that we have to be conscientious and supportive. And like you said, we have to be vigilant. We've got to open up our windows, you know what I'm saying? We've got to sit on our porches. You know, this is what we know. This is what we live for. You know what I'm saying? To watch the prosperity of our loins, our children. You know, to play outside in front. This is why we buy their bikes, so they can go out to the parks and ride their bikes without the fear of harassment, without the fear of gunshots and stuff like that. And City Council President Glidden was right on when she said that community and police are coexisting, that we have to live here and be conscious of the fact that they are here for our protection, to protect and serve the constituents of their wards.
That's right.
And we must utilize those opportunities that we have to live here and relate any form of activities that we think that's bad to the community. We have another call on the line. Hello, Carla. How you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We doing great.
That's good.
All right. So have you opinion about the safety in our communities? That's the topic that we're talking about today.
I do. This is Nick. I'm actually one of the law enforcement agents that work in the metro area here.
Okay. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. So now what's your name again?
Nick.
All right, Nick, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, sir. Thank you. I'm
okay.
Glad y'all get an opportunity to call and put my two cents in. Like I said, I'm a police officer in the metro here.
Okay. Okay. So you are a police officer in the metro here in Minneapolis?
Correct.
Okay. So I know you got a strong opinion about the subject that we're talking about today.
Yeah, I think I don't know if you want to just give me the question again, but yeah, obviously I got an opinion about it. I mean, what
okay.
our job is, how our job should, you know, protect and serve. But I do believe the most important thing is how the people that we're protecting and serving look at the police officers, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Because a lot of people in our neighborhoods believe that the police are our enemy. You know? And I think that's so wrong, and I think that's so misguided. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like, when you misinformed by misinformed people, you always come up with the wrong conclusions. So I'm glad that you called into the show so that you can lay up here and put out, you know, just where, you know, you stand. Because, like, our thing is that safety is something that happens between your ears and not something you hold in your hand. And
very true.
And you know, and as you being a law enforcement officer and stuff, you know, it's good that you called in so you can lay up here and give an on-hand presentation on just how you look at this situation.
You know what? I think the most important thing is I've been in the business for 14 years. Almost,
okay.
I worked in the jails and the correction part, and almost 12 worked in the street, driving a patrol car, riding through the neighborhood. And I think what we need to understand is what we say to our kids, adult-wise, what we say to our kids, what our kids see, is normally what transpires to them and how they look at the police. It's amazing when you got a 10, 11, 12-year-old black kid, they see the police, they say, I don't want to go to jail, and they look angry at the police officers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they don't understand that there's consequences for behavior. When I talk to some of the kids in the schools, I let them know there's a cause and effect to everything. You know what I mean? Let's just say there's a million people in the metro area. The police just don't randomly find a door to go knock on that day. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some police officers that feel just because they put that badge and that gun on that they're above the law. But, you know, 98% of the police officers are actually out there caring about what's going on.
And that's true, because, like, here at Mad Dads, you know, we work closely with the law enforcement agencies here in Minneapolis. And we've come to understand and affiliate with some of the best and most respected men in our community are police officers. They're conscientious, you know, they are observant, you know, and they're dedicated for the uplifting for all those that live within their responsible area. You know, and we've always tried to make that connection between the community and law enforcement. You know, that the law enforcement is there for just that, the enforcement of laws and the protection of the constituents within those communities. And just for you calling and wanting to talk about how important it is for us to live here and watch what we say to our kids, because that's very, very important. You know, now we have another call on the line. Caller?
Yeah, I'm just checking back in because I had to hang up and call back, but I mean, you still on the same topic with neighborhoods and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you hear Officer Nick?
I'm sorry, I didn't get to hear it.
Did you hear, was you listening to Officer Nick?
No, I just missed him. I missed it. I didn't get
okay.
a chance to hear what you had to say.
Okay. Our topic was safety in our community.
Right. Okay. Well, with the safety in the communities, too, earlier the ladies were talking about getting to know your neighbors. But sometimes, too, it's hard to get to know your neighbors when all your neighbors are in doing illegal activity, and then you got a select few that's on the block that can't really say much or do much because they're overpowered, you know. They don't feel comfortable speaking out in the public because half the people that's on the block are selling drugs or doing something else, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's hard for people to get out sometimes, too, and say what they have to say or express their feelings because they don't want their house getting shot up for no reason.
Okay,
you know?
I'm gonna let Officer Nick respond to that.
Okay. You know what? That's very true. What you have to realize is if you do call the police department, there's different divisions of the police department that's assigned to do stuff like that. Low-level drug crime. You got people at your house. They always got people running in and out all times of night. Only thing you really need to do, if you do make that phone call to the police department, you can say, you know what, I live at 2232 Morgan Avenue, and we got a guy next door that's doing A, B, C, and D. When you make that anonymous phone call, that's usually directed when people see the patrol officers riding through the city and going over there and see it. And just because when you guys call, the activity might not be going on that day, but that call is long with that address. You know, you don't have to go over and confront the guy and say, I know you're selling drugs here. We don't want you in our community. But there's a subtle way to do it. Let's say you guys do have that block party that they have every August. You don't have to wait till August to have that block party. Let's say you and your neighbors that you do know that are law-abiding, respectable, hard-working citizens, let's say y'all get out and do something. What that's going to do, that's going to deter those guys, those crackheads, the people that just want to show up, turn the music up loud, and sit in front of your house, bring your property value down. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they say, well, man, we got 30, 40 people every weekend that's out here enjoying themselves. They're going to have to go use their drugs. They're going to go spend their drugs. They're going to go buy their drugs somewhere else. And then you're going to slowly get them out. And, you know, 85% of the time, they renting those properties. So what you do is you call the licensing bureau because the people who are landlords who got a license to be landlords, once those licenses are revoked, they won't be able to have a rental property in Minneapolis or St. Paul or somewhere else because, you know, like they say, power is money. When you start hitting people's pocketbooks, they start to listen to you.
Hey, that is so true. So, Carl, do you understand what he was saying about the positive going inside the negative and canceling out that negative element that might be in the neighborhood?
Yes, sir. Yep. I understand.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense because it helps me understand about, you know, I don't live in the bad area, but at the same time I see it, you know, and I'm wondering what people are doing in these communities to help themselves out and keep themselves safe. You know, and, you know, if they call, they make that call, and then in the future something eventually is going to happen, you know, the house will get raided eventually. So, it's a process, and people got to stay positive, keep your heads up in the neighborhood, you know, and then just keep moving on because life is too short, man.
And that's exactly what it is, if you don't mind, host. It is a process because people say, well, I didn't call 10 times and you guys don't do nothing. Well, at some point, we're going to do something, and it might not happen that first time, just like everyday life when you're trying to teach your kids math. They might not get it the first time, the second time, but eventually it's going to get got, and we're going to deal with the problem. Because like you said, and I told somebody this before, everybody called the police at some point. I've been on calls before where the criminals, the gangbangers that's getting shot at is on the phone with 911, and they said, I'm going down Broadway, I'm going down Marshall, and a guy shooting at me. At some point, everybody called the police, and we in their life, whether positive or negative, when you call 911, we're going to affect your life that day. And obviously,
right.
There's more good people in the city than there is bad. And I know Minnesota don't want to have that reputation that it had in the early 90s, but we may be back on that route if we don't figure out what to do with our juveniles, these 12 to 19-year-olds. I'm more afraid of a 14-year-old kid than a big grown man that just got out of prison who did 18 years, whose mentality might not be there. But it's them 14, 15-year-old black kids that we need to be afraid of, and they need the mamas and daddies in that school system to show them and to turn them in the right direction.
Exactly.
And that
puts a negative damper in somebody's life, but, you know, there's ways around it. There's extra schooling. There's different, you know, organizations or programs that they can be involved in if they're not involved in school, you know. And parents don't see that. They just let their kids go out. They're out of school. They don't care. They're in the street. And they just give up on their kids. And then that's where you get the 12 to 19-year-olds out there in the gang because they don't have that father or mother figure that, you know, to be by their side. They got the gang members to, you know, guide their life or lead them and show them the way of life. And that's sad, man. It's real sad.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if the host was there because I didn't hear anything.
I think he cut out.
Oh, okay. We may have to call back. But I don't know if they are still hearing us. But, yeah, you're right, man. We have to figure out something especially for our people. And,
yeah,
man, you know, that's the unfortunate part. We got to figure out for our people. You don't want to say you just about yours. But
mm-hmm.
when we look in the mirror every day, we represent ours, and that's what we need to do, especially as black men or professional
right.
black men. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, because we get stereotyped too much, man. I hate going somewhere and they looking at me like I'm a criminal. Like, okay, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I go to school, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm not trying to shoot up nobody, you know. Treat me with respect. I treat you with respect. I feel I want the same in you know, in return.
Exactly.
So.
Well, hopefully it'll work out. Some of it will eventually change. It ain't as bad as it used to be. We'll hopefully it changes, though.
Yeah, hopefully it does. No. This officer Nick's, right?
Yep.
Okay.
They having some technical difficulties up here, so he said, keep talking.
so they do hear us there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, as long as they hear us. But, you know, like I said, let's try to figure out something. And I think the another thing that we need to do is, I know we're trying to in Minnesota, and I've been elected as of last year, the president of the National Black Police Officers Association. And I know we're trying to get as many of the brothers and as many of the community people, retired corrections, community people to become members and get involved in that, because I noticed there's times that I ride around the city and see somebody, they so surprised when they see an officer of color.
Yeah.
And I don't
want
to say embarrassing, but it is embarrassing when you're at a crime scene or on a scene, there's 20 or 30 officers, and then there's one African-American officer there, and this crime scene you got 50 or 60 African-American people that's been affected by, like you said, the raids, has been affected by the gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody for them to talk to.
Yep.
And you know how we are as a people. We feel more comfortable with ourselves. And sometimes
right.
a crime can be solved when you got that one brother, that one sister out there that somebody can go get in their ear because they feel like they understand who they talking to because they are a reflection of what they see every day, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was I'm currently going to school and I for criminal justice, and I told the teacher, you know, I did want to do state patrol or become an ATF agent in the future. And they were pressing me to do state highway patrol because they need more African-Americans on the force. So I'm just like, man, it's sad that, you know, they only have a select few that's in state highway patrol. You know, it looks bad. You know, what's going on? Why can't we be a part of that? You know,
right. You know what? I used to feel that way. I used to feel that way, that it looked bad. But I also work at the college, the skills portion, where they train, you know, the law enforcement folks. And I want to say, it ain't a lot. There may be less than 20 that's going through the program. So my thing is, if you don't have numbers to pull from, it's hard for us to get the numbers where they want to be. Because I think the state patrol may only have less than 5-6 African-Americans in their whole force. With a city and a state that wants in the metro area with the minority population growing the way it is, Hispanic, Asian, whatever, black,
okay,
whatever it is, people of color. So when you got a department with less than 3% of their total numbers, people of color, it's hard for our kids to say, can I do that? Should I do that? Is there a space for me? I mean, but when you got jobs, and what folks need to realize, that all these cops that people are seeing out here on these streets are college grads. They're educated people. They're college grads who probably own their homes, got nice cars, got families. I mean, because there's cops out here making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year. So our kids need to know that you can make a living putting that uniform on. But when you put that uniform on, especially being a person of color, you have to realize what you're doing. Because you're going to have people in your community that don't like you. You're going to have people that don't look at you, don't like you. You have to deal with those politics. But the problem is, you got to let yourself know that you're trying to do the good for our people and all people, law-abiding citizens.
That's right. And what you said is very important, that our kids have to realize that we have officers of color that's not only responsible but also caring, and that they are effective. And that they can come to them with information, and that they can live and expect that officer to be responsive to that information and also responsive to them and protective of them. Because, like a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, you know how that guy got on the street, is that if you tell, then use a snitch, you know? And if you seen talking to the police, you use a snitch too, you know? So, you know, all those derogatory and all those, you know, misled conceptions that we have out there about our relationship with law enforcement, we got to start busting that. The only way we're going to be able to bust those myths is through adults taking responsible stands. You know, that's
exactly
why we ask them to come out to the community, you know what I'm saying, come out to do community functions that's happening in our community where you can have hands-on conversation where you can live there and talk to officers such as yourself to see that these are men, these are people, you know, that have their own individual ideologies and ideas as to what they want to see come out in a positive manner in our communities and with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
And you know, like I just said about the about hoping that we can have the NBPA, the National Black Police Officers Association, have that grow, and I'm hoping that we can partner up with you guys, because I know I see them green shirts. If I don't remember the name, I know I see them green shirts out here.
Amen.
And I know what you guys are trying to do, and I'm hoping that Minnesota can get a chapter as big as the Dallas PD. Milwaukee, Chicago. So when something does happen, like you said, our kids in the community can see somebody from that black police officer chapter out there that they can have somebody to talk to, that they can make that phone call after that crime scene and give us that chance to solve that crime where we don't have crimes that are sitting there for months and days, but y'all can give us a chance. They can make that phone call to the chapter. I know they can call y'all if they got something to tell. That's gonna make their neighborhoods better.
Yeah, that would be most important, because if we had an opportunity to lay up here and have the African American police, Minnesota African American Charter to come out and talk to the kids, talk to our guys we have in the Urban League, the Urban Ventures, the Mad Dads, where they can come out and just have a community powwow, you know, and let the personalities of these people come out so they can understand that these are people here, you know, these are something that you don't have to be afraid of, you know, and like I said, that I think like with the councilman person, she said that how the media is laying up here making monsters, you know, out of situations and stuff that don't need to be made monsters out of. They need to be understood, you know what I'm saying, to be able to be broke down for our children to understand that these people are here for them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
if you don't mind, I mean, we can definitely talk and get together later. If you don't mind, if I give a number for what,
please,
if somebody wanna contact me, you write this number down. So when this chapter gets up and running, I need as many people, law enforcement, people from the Urban League, the NAACP, that want to become members of this Minnesota chapter, so we can get this chapter started, so they can see faces of African-American officers. They can see faces of community people that's getting involved with something, and they can call. If you got some kids, if you got an organization, if you want to call me and say, Nick, can you have one of your guys, or can you come over and talk to these young 16, 17, 18-year-old brothers and school them on how they should act when the police do stop them, what they need
and
to do if they want to get into law enforcement.
I'm willing to do that
on my time and use that as a part of our community-based, what we as the NBAPA chapter in the Minneapolis Twin Cities area, what we want to represent and help folks get to that next level. Because I'm hoping 15 years from now, we got more than 200
We got less than a minute. So can you give me that number?
I'll give you the number then.
Okay.
612-685-4058.
Okay. So that's the number to the what?
That's my direct number, and that's going to be the contact number for our National Black Police Officers Association in Minnesota until we get us everything grown, our office, and get it together. And I'm asking for your help to be a member and the Mad Dad to be a part of that.
Okay. So you have our, you know, you have our Mad Dad information? You know, all you have to do
I
is
do
get
have,
our information.
I do have your information.
Okay, okay. So we have less than 19 seconds left on airtime. So we want to thank you for calling, and we appreciate for the information that you share with us.
Thank you, sir. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too, sir. All right. So this has been Blog Talk Radio, and we want to just